Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and friends. I did, I know, and I don't think I can eat today. I really did it, so it was all yummy. I want to thank you. It's Thanksgiving time. Just want to thank everybody for listening to my show for the past 3 years. I can't believe it's been that long, and I've enjoyed getting to know so many women who are doing their work in the world and sharing their gifts and being able to share that with you. And today, again, I'm talking to two gifted women from the Women of Wisdom Conference. My first guest is Pat Fox. And she learned to teach right brain techniques in 1987 while teaching drawing and illustration in a commercial art program in Orlando, Florida. The studio results of these methods was so amazing that in 1995, Pat went back to school in search of an explanation for how it worked. And after several psychology courses, she realized Western scientific inquiry did not address the deeper, more mysterious processes at work. Pat then earned a doctoral degree in integral studies with a concentration in transformational learning and change from California Institute of Integral Studies. Pat is currently a full-time online faculty member of a healed college and university, and she lives in an old farmhouse outside of Seattle. She's given a workshop at the conference on Saturday, February 15th that is called Empower the Right Brain, Cultivate a More Artful Life. And you can check out her work on her website, docfoxwood.wix.com/home. And that's docfoxwood.wix.com. So welcome, Pat.
Hi, nice to be with you.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you at the conference. We love this kind of topic, and I know it's going to be a combination of right brain learning and some art. But let's first, I want to talk about you as an artist first. When you were drawn to be an artist and teach art, because that seems to be your roots to begin with, how did you know that was going to be your calling? And talk about some, you know, what kind of art you do.
Well, I do a lot of different kinds of art, and I've been doing art since I was about 3 years old. So I always knew that it was going to be a big part of my life. When I was in high school, I also had a big love for science. So I thought I was going to become a biology illustrator. So when I went into college for the first time, I took a lot of biology courses and a lot of art courses. And of course, the confluence at the time made it so that the photography and digital aspects kind of completely took over the whole industry. So then I wasn't really sure how to get back into it, and I did graphics and commercial art and kind of the more advertising kinds of things for jobs for a while. And then after my dad died, I closed down my shop and kind of needed to figure out what I was going to do, and I answered an ad in the paper. And as it turned out, it was to teach art. So that's how I got back into the classroom. It was an amazing experience. It just opened doors that I had never seen before. I, you know, had been practicing art as a graphic artist and, You know, then my expressive side was more in the photography. But when I saw these things happening in the classroom, I was astounded. And I knew that there was more behind it than what I'd experienced before.
Well, tell us more about that. Because that kind of led you into your journey of studying this.
The technique that my program director kind of took from Betty Edwards, and she has a book called Drawing from the Right Side of the Brain. And so there are these very simple exercises that cause your left brain to run and hide and your right brain to come out. And so what I was seeing in the classroom from the first class, and the classes were set up, you know, 1 4-hour block a week. By the time we got to the third week, these students were drawing things that looked like they'd come out of a copy machine. It was amazing, and it astounded them, and it astounded me. And, of course, the program was relatively new when I was hired. I was hired in the second term. So as my program director was a term ahead of me, I was watching them paint and do markers, and it was like watching cameras at work. They would look at what they were drawing, and it would come out their hands, and I'm like, oh, man, something's going on here. This is not just, you know, a bunch of people who have remarkable ability. So that's why I ended up going back to school.
And going back to school was to study?
Well, I started taking a bunch of psychology classes and sensation and perception and just anything that you could think of, personality theories. And that's when I did finally find the literature on right brain technology. And that really just led me back to more questions than answers because, as it turns out, most people have a fairly balanced right brain and left brain, and the actual talents that are housed physically are not as discrete as they were in the test subjects who all had very severe forms of epilepsy. So what I found was there is a state that can be induced, which, of course, started leading me back to the mystery schools, right? Because now we're talking about something that's more like meditation. So eventually I found my way to the California Institute of Integral Studies because their program allowed me to bring together the things that I was interested in. I also had a pretty deep interest in quantum physics. So bringing together the different aspects of psychology and trying to understand reality, because there was something that we're tapping into that is not the rational kind of Descartes cause-effect relationship that most people are expecting to see, right? So in my PhD program, we studied cultural effects and systems theories, and that's when I realized that what we were looking at was kind of like a strange attractor, where once we got into it and sort of blazed that trail of the system that can see what's in front of it instead of trying to interpret what's in front of it, that becomes easier. And I don't want to use the word habituated, but once the trail is there, it's easier to get to again. It's like the 500th monkey effect.
Yeah, so tell us about this system, because that, you know, how does this work, seeing that system in front of you?
What happens is, you know, the left brain and the functions that are very left brain, their main function is to look at something and identify it. So it will look at something and say, oh, that's a tree. Oh, that's an eye. Oh, that's a car. And as soon as it identifies it like that, it taps into something that's more like the Platonic ideal, right? So now it's a concept instead of a thing. And once you get into concepts, then you get this almost kind of cartoon image in your head, right? But it's no longer what you're looking at. The right brain, on the other hand, it sees the thing in its context. So it doesn't see a car, it sees that car. It doesn't see a tree, it sees that tree with all of its detail. And when you get into that mode of looking at it, you're actually seeing what's in front of you instead of a concept. So that's what makes this technique very special, is once you get into that way, you are in direct contact with what you're looking at instead of an interpretation.
Well, it's kind of fascinating, and I think back because I took art in school too because I did clothing design and I had some art classes, and I remember sometimes, and you talk about this meditative state, I remember sometimes of drawing some specific things. One was I took an album cover. This is back in the early 70s. And I used Craypaws, and I just got into this state of mind that was like, it felt like bliss. I was just drawing. I still have this painting. And I was lost. I felt like I was lost in it. But I was reproducing what I saw on the photo album, but in my mind's eye, you know, of how I interpreted it. And I just drew using these Craypaw colors. And just, you know, like time just went by.
Yes.
So is that kind of what you're talking about?
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
And it's wonderful to get in that state. And sometimes I can't try to get into that state. I mean, I've done it other times. And now it's kind of like I have to get to a place. I would love to set aside some time to do some more art. And yet my mind feels too busy, linearly, that I have to kind of know I have to be in this place where, okay, some blank, almost like some blank mind time set aside so that then I can move into that place. I don't know what it is. I just don't feel like I'm, you know, so maybe when we come back from the break, you can share some, what are some exercises that people can do to induce this? Because that would be, I mean, I'm assuming that's what you're kind of teaching, getting people into that place of getting into a right brain perspective.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it fascinates me, and I'm so excited to have this at the conference because people love to do art. And the thing of it is, it's not, we don't have to be artists to do this. You know, we can all be creative and do whatever we can do. You know, we look at fabulous artists, and we just think, we can't do that, but we can do what we can do and have fun with it. Well, this is Chris Stainis, and from Voices of Women. When we come back, we'll talk more from Pat Fox.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz. Each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio, that's my line. Non-stop shows, 24 hours, 7 days. Positive talk radio is the new craze. Learn and live your life the best you can. All hosts of TTR will lend a hand. Transform, inspire, educate, create. Tune in now, our shows are actually really great. Tell your friends, your brother, dad, and mom to tune in at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister kind, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis. And that song you heard was from our Woman of Wisdom CD. And if you're needing a nice inspirational gift to give someone for the holidays, check out the Woman of Wisdom CD on our website, womanofwisdom.org. Just go to the products page, I believe. Well, we're talking to Pat Fox and about the right brain and creative process. And Pat, can you give out your contact information website where people can find out about you?
Sure. It's www.docfoxwood, that's DocFoxWood, .wix.com/home. So Doc Foxwood is kind of the name that I've taken here. It refers to my farm, Foxwood Farm, so Dr. Pat Fox, so I just do Doc Foxwood. So my email address is also docfoxwood@gmail.com.
Great. I kind of thought perhaps your place was called Foxwood. That's
Yeah. Great.
So we were talking about the right brain instruction, and let's talk about how that's different from the traditional art instruction.
Well, in traditional art instruction, and I had a lot of those classes in college, it sort of assumed that you have this basic talent, right? They assume it's a talent. And so they teach you the media. So if you might be doing a charcoal class, you go and you do a bunch of charcoal stuff, and they might tell you, okay, well, hold it this way in your hand, hold it that way in your hand, and this looks good, this doesn't look good, but they never tell you what's going on in your brain that can make that happen. So people who have sort of the natural way of finding that space, sort of like you said that you found it when you were working on that album cover, they kind of get there, and they habituate a way of getting there, and then they get feedback. So it's just a kind of falling into it and then getting some feedback around it. And then you go on to your next class. It might be watercolor or acrylic or life drawing or stuff like that, and you'll get some basic instruction around like balance and tone, and you know, different art histories, this style and that style. But nobody ever tells you what's going on in your brain that can help you make this happen. So, what it boils down to is really a very simple thing. Your left brain likes to be in control because that's the culture we're living in. Now, the left brain has a very, very keen sense of, yes, I can do this, even though it can't. Because what it's going to do, it's going to look at what's in front of it, and then it's going to draw a symbol. Because it wants to do it quickly, it wants to do it efficiently, And your right brain has nothing to say about it. And this is one of the biggest blockades because all of our language centers are on the left brain. So when you're drawing something and you hear all that self-talk, that doesn't look good, that looks right, this is good, stop doing that, you're not very good at this. That's all the left brain because the right brain just doesn't have language at all. So it can't even engage in an argument about it, right? It can't defend itself. So what we have to do is give the left brain some tasks that it doesn't like. And when you do that, it gets out of the way.
Well, give us an example. What kind of tasks
so
you give your left brain?
What the left brain can't do is transpose things in space because it's not a very spatial-oriented system, right? So if you try to draw something backwards from what you're seeing, the left brain is like, I'm out of here. Anything that the left brain can't name, it will not attempt to draw. And this is the basic technique that we use in slightly different ways all the time. We call it negative space. So instead of drawing, say, the shape of a lip, if you're drawing a person, you don't try to draw the lip. You try to draw the space around the lip. And there's no word for it. One of the early experiments that we do in the drawing class is we get, you know, just a typical bar stool, right? We put it up on a table. Now, the left brain will see the stool and say, yes, that's the stool. And then it can also get very clever about it, right? This is the right leg. This is the back leg. This is the peg that goes across from that. And it'll try to do that. But if you tell the students instead, don't draw the stool, draw the shape of the air around the stool, the left brain goes, ah, and it's out of there. Now, it won't stay out for very long if you're new at this, right? The right brain will come in and it'll start drawing. And before long, the left brain will try to grab the task again and say, oh, I can do that. It's a rectangle. I can draw a rectangle. So there's this constant kind of vying for position that happens in the beginning. And that's part of why we do this as a practice, is you have to get the left brain comfortable with the fact that the right brain can do this. It doesn't have to come in and take control of things. And that's when we start getting into these other kinds of states where the intuition starts heightening and coming forward. There's usually some emotional stuff that comes up, and there's often headaches. A lot of things happen because what's going on is you're really kind of reconstituting who you are as a person. Because there's this whole side of you that hasn't had an opportunity to live fully in the world. So as all of this happens, if given the space to really exercise that right brain, you sit down, you look at something, you start drawing it, and the longer the left brain stays out of the way and the longer the right brain has a chance to really do it, the first time you look and see that miracle of something just copied, it just went in your eyes and came out your hands, your left brain goes, oh, my God, I would never be able to do that. And that's when it kind of surrenders itself, and you don't have that problem getting back to that space again. And then it really transforms who you are because you can find that space at any time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, and you're likening this to meditation. So it's like getting into a meditative state.
It is.
It takes
a meditative state. It's, but I always found it so much easier because, you know, for me, most of the things that... Well, in the meditation classes that I've taken, you can focus on a word or a mantra, but all of those things are left brain, right? So it's the same part of your brain that you're trying to quiet down, get that chatter, that you're giving it a word, and so you're activating it. Whereas if you're looking at an image and you're really connecting deeply with that image and it comes through you, that quiet happens on its own accord because the right brain doesn't have language. So you find that timeless space, like you were talking about.
Yeah. I remember a recent one where I was with some women friends for a retreat, and we were drawing and chatting and drawing. And I drew something, but I wasn't liking it. My left brain was going, yeah, whatever, you know. But my right brain was still working. And then everybody goes, wow, you're really good at this. Look at that. And then I could go, oh, okay, yeah, okay, it does look good. You know, it's like, and so it's almost that duality of going back and forth, left brain chatter telling you this, but meanwhile, the right brain was still working, creating this vase with flowers that I thought, my mind thought, well, it's whatever, you know, and then others. And sometimes we need that reflection back because I've had to stand back. I had a teacher do that one time. I was just in an angry mood. We were out in the quad, you know, at the UW at the quad, and I was drawing. It was black and white, and I was just drawing away, and I was angry. I could just put all the energy into my hands, and I came back, and the teacher gave it as an example, and he asked for it to keep, you know, which now I regret. But it's kind of like, oh, I was just angry. I didn't, you know, and I got into that state. It forced me into that state of mind. So it's fascinating. So we've got an extra minute. What are, maybe give a couple barriers to this right brain mode.
Well, obviously the biggest barrier is the left brain thinking it can do it. So some of the mistakes that people make early on is they try to draw something that's very simple. Think, oh, this will be easy. Well, it will be easy for the left brain. So instead, what you want to do is draw something that's very complicated. The more detail the possible and the fewer things that you can name, the better. So if you can go on that picture, if you just find a picture in a magazine, food is great because the photography is so crisp. But you have to find the shapes that can't be named. And then the left brain will say, I don't know what it is, so I don't know what to do with it. That's the biggest barrier, is the left brain thinking it can do it. So you have to convince the left brain, there's no way you're going to do this. Let me have a shot at it. The other barriers are, like what I heard you saying, is feeling like you don't have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge barrier because the left brain is the time monitor, right? The right brain does not experience time. So you have to give yourself some safe space. So the left brain says, okay, I've allowed myself this time.
Yeah,
otherwise,
that's what it feels like, finding that safe space.
Yeah.
Well, we've run out of time. Thank you, Pat, for
You're
being
very
on
welcome.
The show today. And I
want
to let people know to check out the website, womenofwisdom.org, and look for her workshop, Empower the Right Brain, Cultivate a More Artful Life. It's on February 15th. And check out her website, docfoxwood.wix.com. So this is Christina's. We're going to come back, and I'm going to be talking to Luminessa and Jara.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
If you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, if you want a book that will change your life, then you won't want to miss getting Sandy Brewer's compelling memoir, Pursuit of a Light. Get it now in our holiday gift sale for only $9.97. Plus, receive Sandy's special gift to you of her amazing audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing. Go to sandybrewer.com, click the book tab to place your order, and at checkout, use the coupon code HOLIDAY. Get the sale package valued at over $40 for only $9.97 today at sandybrewer.com.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and the song Pray Like a Woman is also on the Woman of Wisdom CD, which you can purchase at our website, womanofwisdom.org. There's some great songs by amazing women singers who have been at the Woman of Wisdom Conference over the years. Holly Near, Rhiannon, Libby Roderick, Rhiannon. Oh, I already said Rhiannon. Somebody else I was trying to remember. Anyway, there's several people. They're great musicians, and it is a wonderful CD. So it'd be a great gift to think about for the holidays. And we are going to have now on the show Luminessa Anjara. She is the founder of the School of Women's Mysteries, soul support, and co-founder of Women Talking Sex. She's a teacher of the mythology of the goddess, women's sexuality, spirituality, and a spiritual life coach, ordained minister, and a priestess. She's had over 25 years of training and experience in the fields of sacred sexuality, New Thought metaphysics, and the human potential movement. Luminessa offers phone coaching sessions as well and womb healing sessions in the Bay Area. And her website is womensmysteries.org. She's giving a workshop at the conference, The New Feminine Mystique, Thriving in Your Sexual Power, and that is going to be February 15th in the afternoon. And we're just waiting to get her on the line. And yes, she is here. Hi, Luminessa.
Hi.
Oh, great to have you. So I'm glad you're here.
Thanks a lot. I'm sorry for any technical problems here.
No problem. So first I want you to tell us your story, how you came to this work as your calling, what your personal transformation around the feminine mystique was.
It's a very long story, so let me make it as short as I can because we are limited time.
Yeah, we have to do a short story, yes.
Okay, let me see. Where do I even begin? Oh, I would say that I'll just start really quickly by saying that I brought through this whole idea of the School of Women's Mysteries, which was its original concept, in 1987. It was actually a very mystical experience. And what came out of that was that I was actually given a lineage this may sound a little out there, but it's from a former lifetime that I actually experienced myself and saw myself in an image and later on had things confirmed in a way that was hard to doubt. And I was told that I was going to start a school for women. And this was like, remember, this was 1987. So in those days, I just sort of laughed at that. And if we fast forward from that experience, it took many years for all of this information to sort of download and to come into being. and the new feminine mystique came in recently in the last couple of years. I was looking at Betty Friedan's book called The Feminine Mystique, and for some of us who are from my generation, we might know of this book as a groundbreaking book that was written in the late 50s, early 60s by a feminist who was a forerunner for feminism. And it told a lot about the old way in which women, the sort of hidden way that women had been in the 50s, like their lifestyle and what they were frustrated about. It was really groundbreaking, and it opened up the eyes of so many people and sort of brought it out. Well, it just came to me that I was looking at what would be the new feminine mystique. What would that really be like, and how would that affect us now? And what is that? And my whole message and what my work is really about, which evolved over a period of 20 years, is really to understand that there's something innate that women have not been able to really fully embody for the past 10,000 years. And that's more because of the evolution of male-dominant society, patriarchy, things like that that's happened over those times. But basically, it came from that. It came from looking and really understanding what does that mean when we talk about the embodiment of our feminine allure, our sexual power. And so that's where it sort of kind of came from, and it's been an evolution ever since, and it's still evolving.
And that's great, because it needs to, you know. But let's talk about, you know, how have women been using this sexuality or sexual power to survive? Because that's what we've been in. Being in this patriarchal world, we've had to learn how to survive, and so we have probably set, you know, we put this our sexual power in the back burner.
Exactly. So what I did over the years, I've done quite a bit of study and research. I felt like ground one was, let's go back and see what happened and how did we get here? What is, when we call patriarchy or male-dominated societies, where did the origin of that actually begin? And I really learned through all of that after studying for quite a bit, reading many, many different books. There were many theories, and all of them seemed to be like there wasn't any one reason why it all happened. There were many reasons why it all happened. So what I do know was that at least 10,000 years ago, when we were living in a culture, a lot of it was agrarian-based, and they were more like worshiping the goddess imagery of the divine feminine and the feminine energy. Masculine energy was definitely honored, and it was never excluded. It was just that everybody honored the creation. So you have to understand that femininity, sexuality, creativity, all of that came from the feminine nurturing side of where our womb, our sexual essence, right? For the woman in, it's the womb, or in Tantra, there's a word called yoni, it's Sanskrit, and that means sacred space. So it's generally around from that was born. And when male-dominated thought forms and reasons to sort of suppress women and control women because they were afraid of this power, when you look at women's sexual allure and you look at a woman's body, doesn't it always fascinate you that most art, classical art, is nude women, and they're considered to be the most beautiful things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I always looked at that and thought, isn't that interesting? You know, we look at art, and it's like Michelangelo's art or any art, Da Vinci. A lot of women are depicted nude women, and there's statues of beautiful women throughout Europe and all the in all the museums. You just wonder, isn't that interesting that we glorify the human form, but especially the female form? It's voluptuous, it's sensual, it's beautiful in all its varieties. So survival was implanted because women had no recourse when a lot of this change happened. They either had the ability to, they could either get married, and a lot of women were sold into marriage for breeding capabilities, right, sexuality, or they could become prostitutes and sell their bodies, or they could use their sex to survive in other ways. And that's actually what happened to just about everyone. We didn't have many choices. We didn't know what it was like to really own our own body and to come from a place of wholeness and love and totally, you know, rather than fear our sexuality, embrace it and boldly say, wow, I am so thrilled to be vibrantly alive, creative, juicy, sensual, and sexy, which is kind of where I'm moving toward.
Yeah. So how is that? How do we move into that where we're not in surviving, but we're actually expressing that very authentically?
So that's the next step. So we're in this old paradigm, this old model, and rather than trying to change the old model, we're going to move into something brand new, which I call the new feminine mystique. How do we learn to come from the embrace of, wow, I totally embody and I'm not afraid anymore of being a sexually powerful woman. And we don't apologize anymore for it. We don't apologize for being that way. And there's a sort of a innate apology that I think all women have on some level, whether it's been passed down to them from generations or whether they're consciously aware of it, that we keep saying, I'm so sorry that I'm sexy. I'm so sorry that I'm alive and creative and this amazing creature. And that kind of got handed down through the ages. So how we step into this authentic feminine power is first we learn to truly love being a woman on all levels. We remember, we learn to it's like reconnecting with that part of ourselves, which is our natural innocence. The innocence of our sensuality, the innocence of sexuality, the innocence of our bodies. I think there's a place coming from the story of Adam and Eve and how that was completely changed by some of the church patriarchs to suit what they wanted to do with it and how it got corrupted. So if we as women, and I help women to get there, can eradicate, can reclaim, can rebirth ourselves and re-own our own natural innocence, and then celebrate that, you know, celebrate that. Step into what does it mean to be authentically in our feminine power without manipulating, without using sexuality to manipulate or to get anything else.
Yeah, and that's, you know, since that's so ingrained in us to, probably in our cellular memory to manipulate. You're talking about 10,000 years. And so what are some, we may want to, when we come back from our break, explore more of how women can get out of that, that way of being.
Absolutely. Okay.
And to allow that to, you know, to, and I think when you were talking about the, I see also the denial of the, of, instead of denying the sexuality, instead of, you mentioned also the apologizing, but I also see there's a denial, like we don't want to face that.
Yeah, very good point. You know, I agree with you. I sometimes look at it from three different perspectives. I notice, and maybe you notice something different as well, that women either exploit their own sexuality, right? They're like bold and they go out and it's almost like overdone. See how sexy I am? And even in industry, in sex industries, it's exploited. Or women cover it up and they deny it. And sometimes women have issues around that, right? They're afraid to express it. They don't know how to handle it. They cover themselves up. Their body changes, you know. So, you know, that's part of the denial. Or we embrace it.
Yes.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. And so
okay.
This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Luminessa.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio hosts and motivational speakers Sue London. Thursdays on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com. Do you ever wonder why you feel off balance and out of focus most of your life? Would you like to have an aha moment every day? The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, will empower you to feel wonderment every moment of every day. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information which gives hope to everyone from the healthy to the health challenged. Get ready to restore and maintain your wholeness, mind, body, and spirit through learning the latest complementary and alternative healing modalities. Your new reality will introduce you to an unlimited world of possibilities with the gumption to take epic action for your life. This call-in show with Wholeness Coach Michelle Bond will give you insight to a wide range of topics, from nutrition to lifestyle choices to manifesting your wildest dreams. Tune in Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Luminessa Anjara today. She is giving a workshop at Women of Wisdom on February 15th. It's called The New Feminine Mystique, Thriving in Your Sexual Power. And Luminessa, can you give your website how people can reach you? And you can talk about your offer. You have something on your website that people can get.
Sure. What we do want to have is it's just the womensmysteries.org. And I have a workshop. I have several things, but the one that there's a workshop page up there right now that's for a new teleseminar that I've been doing, which is called Awakening to the Goddesses of Love and Embracing Your Sacred Sensual Self. And it's a free introductory call, and that will be up there. You can see that. And if you're interested, you can let me know or email me or just register.
Okay, and you also have a free 30-minute coaching session. Which goddess of love are you?
The free 30-minute coaching session, yes. So the Awakening to the Goddesses of Love, there are different archetypes for the goddesses of love and sexuality, and I work with four. And we really go in-depth into them, and in the six-week teleseminar, it's a very much more depth-oriented working with each one and how we can learn to embody them. Part of coming into our new feminine mystique is not being afraid of expressing all the different aspects of our sexual expression. So whether we want to be Lilith, the vamp, or we want to be the primal goddess, which is really the tigress, the instinctual feminine, the instinctual sexual energy, or we want to be Aphrodite, the goddess of sensuality and love, or we want to be the sacred prostitute or the sexual healer. These are archetypes that we can embody and we can learn from them. So it sort of integrates with the new feminine mystique, because once you're learning how to do that, the next step would be, wow, I can now feel totally comfortable in all these areas. I may not always want to express them always, but I can feel comfortable that that wild woman is me too. You know, that goddess of love, that archetype, that sexual healer is me too. The sacred prostitute is me too. And when we stop being afraid of them, we stop being scared of them, something shifts in us. We get into a place of so completely empowered and comfortable and secure, and we sort of revel in ourselves, and we say, wow, you walk differently, you hold your head differently, you feel so much more confident in your own ability to truly embody you as the goddess of love that you are.
So that brings a question to me, like, where does that fear come from? Because there's that sometimes that fear to go into those archetypes or acknowledge that's a part of us. And how do you work with people to overcome their fears?
Well, it would really depend. So everybody has different aspects. So let's say there's fear. Some people have had sexual abuse, and it comes from that fear. This course isn't so much designed to work with the depth psychological of those kinds of things as much, because it's not the time or place for it. But the natural fears that women have, I think what happens is once we just face the fear and we say what it is, so someone shares what that is, we talk about it, we look at where it might have come from. If we can, the minute we are acknowledging the fear and we face it, we can diffuse it. sometimes fears come from the fact that we just have misunderstandings of what some things mean. You might not understand the sacred prostitute. You've heard the word prostitution has been so maligned in our culture. If you look at the origins of that, you will see a completely different explanation of what that word meant and who those women were. And it changes the context of everything. And suddenly, you're not afraid of it anymore. And maybe if you just get your feet wet, you step one toe in, then you put your foot in. So it's a little bit at a time. I mean, nothing's ever forced on anybody. It's kind of like learning to integrate and to start to look at those fears, face them, and then to try something just a little bit new for yourself, just to get your feet wet.
So I also noted in your information, you talk about this giving a sense of freedom. And when we embrace our sexual allure, let's talk about that.
So sexual allure, when we look at allure, oftentimes that word to me struck me as, well, we look at it as being alluring. You know, it's entrapping. It's enticing. What does allure mean? So redefining allure and our feminine allure is like, can we now use our sexual energy, our mystique? You know, women have a mystique. Can we use that mystique not to manipulate, not to entice from a place of manipulation or even a place where we are using it to survive, but rather can we now try to retrain ourselves when we embrace all our wholeness and all the sexual aspects and components of who we are as women, when we take it out of being wrong or that these, you know, like archetypes are just ways in which we can embrace parts of our own inner selves, ourselves. When we can embrace those, the sense of freedom comes from not being afraid, from embodying all of who I am as a woman, feeling really whole, really secure, really fresh, really like I'm not afraid of any part of me. I can walk boldly. And I think for women that because we're women, because we create life, innately we're sexual. It's different with men. But for a woman, her whole body is designed. It is all about that whole energy, not like sexual about having sex, but just voluptuous, sensual, beautiful, fecund, just that when I see women all over, it's just innately who and what we partly are. Part of our body is partly who we are. It doesn't necessarily determine how we're going to be in the world, but it does affect. So I think once we own all of that, when we really feel our own, we accept, own, revel, celebrate, are no longer afraid of that part of ourselves and that what that means, we will and we do. You do walk in freedom. You're not afraid anymore. So someone whistles at you, right? And you don't shy. You don't have to get upset with it. It doesn't necessarily mean anything personal, but you might handle it in a different way. You might feel differently about that. Something might shift in you where you start to, instead of being afraid of that or feeling insulted by that, there might be another shift about that. I think that's a freedom when we don't react anymore that way.
So just because I was wondering, because when we step into that place that you were talking about, I think one of the fears is the typical male response to that is maybe not what we're looking for. And then how do we deal with that?
Exactly. So that's exactly it. We are here. I am here to support women in creating a new paradigm around this. So one by one, we as women have to start seeing this from an empowered point of view. We're not any longer going to deny or apologize or be afraid to fully embody who we are as women, which is, and I say this boldly, our yoni, our sacred space, our womb, whatever that you want to call that, you know, Betty, and she brought.
Oh, I can't hear you. Let's see, did we lose you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now.
Hello. Okay, good. So at any rate, I was just saying that Eve Ensler brought all of this awareness, right, to women and their vaginas. And now we're just bringing it to another level, which is celebrating ourselves in the fact that we're sexual beings rather than apologizing and, like you say, in denial of it sometimes or even exploiting it. Let's bring it into a healthy balance and just own it completely. And in that, there's a freedom in you. And yes, this is what I think. I think that as we do that, men will turn around and respect you.
Well, hopefully that'll be so. Well, thank you so much. We have run out of time.
Okay,
thank you,
great.
Luminessa. It was great to talk with you today. Thanks for being on the
thank
show.
Thank you so very much for having me on the show. I really appreciated it.
Yeah. So Luminessa's workshop is going to be The New Feminine Mystique, Thriving in Your Sexual Power at the WOW Conference on February 15th. Check out our website at womensmysteries.org. So I want to leave everyone with a thought today. We've been talking about two ways to access our full self through creativity and the right brain and our feminine power. And both, I think, are using the right brain, getting out of our linear way of thinking. So how can you get in touch more with your right brain and bring that creativity and sexual power into your life? So I also want to remind people I'm having a webinar on embracing the new leadership paradigm, how to step into your confidence and unleash the leader within. We're in our second class starting this Monday, but you can still join because there are recordings. And so you can join us this week. Just go to my website, chrysalisleadership.com/webinar, and you will find information about that. Learning lots of tools on leadership, how to bring everyone into the process, how you can lead people into everyone participate and contribute their gifts to the group, and dealing with the difficult dynamics that happen in groups. So we're going to be learning lots in that class. So just go to chrysalisleadership.com/webinar. Also go check out all the schedule and all the great workshops that we are bringing to Women of Wisdom February 14th through the 17th, 2014, and go to womenofwisdom.org. Click the link for Conference 2014, and you'll get all the information. And it's a great time to come to Seattle. It's President's Day weekend. A lot of you have 3 days off, so join us. Also, check out my book. It could be a very nice holiday gift as well, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. You can get that at the Women of Wisdom website, womenofwisdom.org. Look for products or the book and CD link, or at my website, chrysalisleadership.com. And next week, I will be interviewing a couple more wonderful Women of Wisdom presenters. So I hope everyone has a great weekend. Still a holiday weekend, so be safe. Driving and everything else, just have a great time. Thanks for being here.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show. With Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.